Good morning and greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and praise God for the lovely time of worship. We could worship the great God, I am that I am, who is living and alive forevermore. And also great to see Brother Elders and Sister Krupa and family, and bring some memories back worshiping together. So praise God. As we continue to look back, I'm sure this map is getting familiar. As we've been studying from Book of Revelation, from the message to the churches. Please turn with me to Book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. Book of Revelation chapter 2 and from verse 18. And we shall read from verse 18 to verse 29. I will read verse 18. And if you could read verse 19, verse verse, so we could study the word together. Meditate upon the word. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Know thy ways, and charity and service and faith, patience and good works, and that's more than enough. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication she repented of. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now kill children and death, all the churches shall know that I am he who searcheth the reins and hearts of every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I'll put upon you none other burden, that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule with the rod of iron, as the best of power shall receive. And I'll give him the morning star, and he that heareth his voice in the Spirit say. Most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come before the throne of grace. We thank you for the precious word you've stored for us this morning. Lord, I seek your blessing upon thy servant, that it may come with clarity and simplicity, that you may provide the word and bless every soul which hear that word. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. As you all know, going through Book of Revelation, we looked a few times into the introduction, so I won't be going deep as to the introduction. As you all know, Apostle John, as you know, in chapter 1, verse 8, he's in the small island of Patmos, which is just there on the island, a rocky island. He's in quite old. As you all know, the Book of Revelation is written in what age? About 95 AD. So 60 years have passed since Lord Jesus has ascended to heaven, and the Lord has taken Apostle John in the Spirit and has given a direct message of things to come, the things to happen. And as we meditate, even as we looked at, every church has an introduction of his deity. As you know, in chapter 2, we meditated verse 1, the very first church is mentioned is church at Ephesus. Right? And you see there, the Lord is in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. Seven golden candlesticks are the seven churches. Brothers and sisters, as we all meditated this morning, even as we took part in the Lord's table, the church is the body of Christ. Know ye not, ye are the temple of the living God. The church is a pillar of his truth. He has purchased each one from his precious blood. In Book of Ephesians was a very well-known church. In terms of, you read about Ephesians many times. We have a letter, Paul's letter written to Ephesians, right? And you do know Ephesians is the one of the church which Apostle Paul spent nearly 3 years, the longest time he spent. And as we came to the second church at Smyrna, as we know, that means mir. The meaning itself is mir. It means suffering. We read a little bit about Polycarp, who's not mentioned here, but he was mentioned, he's known historically. A church is called a suffering church, a persecuted church. And but they were faithful. Remember, there were seven churches. All the churches has commendation. Only two churches do not have rebuke. And one was Smyrna and one is Philadelphia. The third one we saw was Pergamos. Pergamos means thoroughly married. They were married to the world. Compromising church. They compromised. We studied about an Old Testament a false prophet named Balaam, right? And the doctrines of Nicolaitans. So when you look back, all the three churches before, though they had positives and negatives, they had true to doctrine. There were sound doctrines. In Ephesus, there was no love though, you know. But when you're coming, we're going further, you're looking at a church, as you see, message to Thyatira, in your Bibles, you may see it is a corrupt church. It's a corrupt church. And here we read about Thyatira. As you see, it's just below Pergamum, and Sardis. This is not in a coastal area. It's inland. Does anyone remember in New Testament, there's one mention, somebody came from Thyatira. Does anyone remember who that? It was a sister, Lydia, right? If you turn to Acts chapter 16 and verse 14 and 15, as we were meditating on Friday, our brother was reminding about a call that Paul had a dream of a brother in Macedonia for Paul to come. He was crying to come to Macedonia. You know, Paul went to Philippi and there at the tree, he meets Lydia. What does it say as you read verse 14, 15? She was from Thyatira. And she was a dealer of purple cloth, right? So we have a brief introduction. Lydia from Thyatira. In fact, Lydia was the door for Europe. Today, the Christianity has reached to Europe. And Lydia plays a major role. God used her mightily. The church was opened in Philippi. But she was from Thyatira. All these places we looked at, Pergamum, Ephesus, they were all big cities. But when you look at Thyatira, it's not even a city, it's a small town. Today it's known as a name called Akisha. It's a city, which we are, a town which still exists. There are about 80,000 people live in this town today. As we read about Lydia, who's from Thyatira, who was a dealer of purple cloth, it also reminds this town was a manufacturing base. They had herbs and plants which produced this color purple. Purple, as you know, is a royal color. And she would sell this cloth. And she had, this is also a place of manufacturing where union workers, and there's a bit of a history where this was built and ruined in the times of Roman times who ruled this place. So we do not know how the church at Thyatira began, right? We do know about Ephesus, how it began. We know a little bit about Laodicea. But we do not have the history of how the church has begun. If you read Acts chapter 19 verse 10, you do know Paul lived in Ephesus for more than 2 years to 3 years. And you read a verse that the word of God went across Asia. As you know, this map, Asia Minor, is not India, Asia. This is a modern Turkey. So they called Asia Minor. It is, you're looking at a map today, it's modern Turkey. So Akisha is Thyatira today, and it's still a small town. One of the key things, you look at this as you just meditate on the fourth church, there's a uniqueness of this as you look at even this church. Of all the seven churches, this is the longest letter given by God. Who is giving this letter? As you read verse 18, and the angel of church Thyatira, these things saith the Son of God, who hath the eyes like unto the flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Brothers and sisters, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ to the church. A small town, a church which exists, but yet the longest letter placed, and the Lord is speaking, is the Son of God. Today morning we meditate upon I am that I am, the God who manifested in the flesh. And one of the sister worship, though you are soaring God, though you're great, you manifested in the flesh, and he is the Son of God. Last week we were meditating on, a few weeks ago, on who is Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies the footstool. The Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of God speaking. And how is his eyes here? The flame of fire. God can see everything in the church. This verse says to King Asa, the eyes of the Lord goes to and fro, looking for them whose heart is perfect towards him. Flame of fire speaks about fire, speaks about judgment. His feet are like fine brass, the strength to stand and to judge. This reference is not as an encouraging introduction as you read to the church at Ephesus, church at Smyrna. Though Smyrna had this thing said first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And as we came to in Pergamos and Thyatira, you know, the introduction itself is not as an encouraging introduction. As you all know, firstly, these seven churches existed at the time of Apostle John. They were literal churches. Secondly, these kind of churches are still exist. The message of God still remains to the church to be corrected, not to compromise, not to be corrupted from the world. Thirdly, brothers and sisters, I'll probably share with you the time era of the church. This is a panoramic view of the church era, of the time of apostolic church, the persecuted church. The last time we looked at Pergamos, we looked at the time of Constantine. The 300 AD to 500 AD, about 200 years, the church which was persecuted, all became Christians, though they were not Christians. All became religious, and it became a state-run church. But now you're looking at a time era of 1,000 years, of a corrupt time era from 500 AD to 1000 AD, which is also called Papal Church, which we'll probably look into it more. But let's look at verse 19, the commendation of this church. What do you see the commendation in verse 19? I know thy works, charity, service, faith, patience. Last Friday, Brother Bob was taking us through Thessalonians. And Paul was thanking Thessalonians for their faith, for their love, patience. And you see a beautiful commendation. There was love. In Ephesus, they were sound in doctrine, but there was no love. They had lost the first love. They had patience. They had faith. And the current words, when John is writing, the works are better than the beginning. So they were good at great characters. They had love, faith, patience, great commendation. Verse 20 says, nevertheless, notwithstanding, I have few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Suddenly the Lord is speaking, and he takes back a character in Old Testament times, in the times of Elijah, and what's the name of the false prophetess? Jezebel. Last time when we read about Pergamos, there's an Old Testament false prophet named Balaam. Here the Lord is speaking about Jezebel. And the church, my servants, who has tasted the love of God, they have been seduced to backslide, to be in idolaters, fornicators, is the word mentioned in verse 20. The church has allowed, as you see in verse 24, this church has the depths of Satan. In Pergamos, we saw there was a throne of Satan. The church was compromised with the throne of, here we see the depths of Satan. Who is Jezebel? You know, we all studied here the Old Testament times. I wouldn't read the chapters, but if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 16, and this story begins in times of Elijah, and the northern kingdom is already divided with 10 kingdoms in the northern, which is Israel, and Judah is in the southern kingdom. And you see, Ahab is the king of Israel. And as you come to chapter 16 and verse 31 to 33, you see Ahab, due to political reasons, he marries a woman called Jezebel. She's not from the land of Israel. She does not know the God I am that I am. What do you see in verse 31 to 33? She's the daughter of Ethbaal. And she's the worshipper of an idol called Baal. Today, Brother Sandeep was reminding about an idol, you know, which brings medicine. This god Baal is mentioned numerous times in Old Testament. Even if the Baal is a god of fertility, they used to pray for rain, a god of fertility. In the times of Jezebel, there were male prostitutes, female prostitutes. Sexual immorality was one of the worst in times. So Ahab marries Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal from Zidon. She is from a king of Tyre. Ethbaal means Baal leaves. She brings false prophets of Baal with her. She removes all that which previously altars of God built. You know what she does? She changes to altar of Baal. They worship the Baal God. One of the worst times in the nation of Israel. The corrupted times in the nation of Israel. As you see in one of the incidents, as you read in 1 Kings chapter 21, as you flick through, you see Ahab, just on the neighbor of Ahab's palace, there was a man named Naboth. It says he was a righteous man. He had a beautiful vineyard. Ahab desired to get that land. He does offer the money. But Naboth says, this is my father's inheritance. I can't give it for any money. Ahab was disappointed. You know what Jezebel does? Jezebel manipulates. She gets false witnesses. She puts the ring approval of Ahab to say Naboth cursed God and the king. You know what the Israel did because Jezebel, a false witness, they stoned Naboth to death. Not only Naboth, they stoned his sons, his family to death. So you see a wicked woman, a false witness, immoral. In 1 Kings chapter 18, as you go through, you see Jezebel ordered to kill all the prophets of God, including Elijah. Many prophets were to be killed. There was Obadiah, holds few prophets. This is when you read, Elijah calls the prophets of Baal in Mount Carmel. He alone stands against 400 false Baal prophet. Now I want you to focus on this incident. In this incident, the Lord shows his power and glory, not only to the 400 Baals, he also shows to Jezebel. What happens there? Elijah calls to the living God. The fire came from heaven and the sacrifice was consumed. The prophets of Baal were put to shame. But yet, did Jezebel repent? God showed the power. God showed his mighty power to his false Baals, but Jezebel did not repent. Elijah told about the death, how the Jezebel will die. You read it in 2 Kings chapter 9, 29 to 37. It was told she will be killed and the dogs will eat her. On the day of her death, she was on a palace on the window. She was thrown down. According to the prophecy, she fell. The blood was shed. Because she was a king's daughter, they wanted to bury her. But they found nothing. The dogs have eaten most of her body. So you're looking at one of the most corrupt women in the Bible. Immoral, wicked, false teacher, false witness, unrepentant, divisive in body, seducing to sin the nation. Brother, can you show the next? So as we were looking at, as I mentioned, these seven churches existed. These kind of seven churches, still God is speaking to the churches to not to compromise, not to corrupt. And we're looking at a longest time in the, if you look at a panographic time or prophetical times of the church here, you're looking at nearly 580 to 1580. 1,000 years, there was a time with the church grew with persecution, but after Constantine, the Roman Empire, the state-run church, we know about the Roman Catholicism, the other sects, where what happened in the place of God, a man named Pope continued to rule the church. The gospel was corrupted. Firstly, the word of God was corrupted, right? You see, the idols. Do you see idols in the churches? You see idols of Virgin Mary. You see idols of saints. The so-called saints, idols. They pray for them. You see these words of idolatry. The church seduced for corruption. I had a friend in Newcastle. He was a Catholic. He used to go to church, to a Catholic church. He used to spend time with me. I was not born again at that time. And he used to do things wrong, which is in the sight of God. And he used to tell me, Sunday morning, I'll be going to church. I will take part in the sacrament. For them, the sacrament is literal blood. The cup we break in remembrance of God, that becomes literal blood. And they believe by taking that, their sins are forgiven. They add to Jesus works. They say it by works. We see the darkest times of history. If you were living in this time of 1,000 years, you wouldn't have the word of God you're just holding today. It was kept aside. It was only be used for people in the church. Firstly, thank God, brothers and sisters, today you have the access to the Word of God. This is the historical facts. You wouldn't have access to the Word of God, the many Bibles you have, the truth you have. They added purgatory to the Bible. Today, there are many false prophets, false doctrines. We read about the word fornication, right? We read in verse 20, seduce my servant to commit fornication and to things sacrificed unto idols. Fornication is a relationship, word used relationship outside the marriage. fornication and adultery. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, Paul writes to church, be followers of God, love God. Fornication and adultery not to be even mentioned among you. That's what Apostle Paul writes. You know, brothers and sisters, as we look around today, this is very common. Boyfriend and girlfriend living together without the matrimony, without the blessing, without marriage. It is so common, not even in the world, I've even seen in churches. It is a warning given, right? God is speaking to the church. Though spiritually, if you see the church being corrupted, seduced with false doctrines, there should not be fornication, adultery mentioned in the church. The Lord has bought this church through His own precious blood. As brother reminded Friday, what is the meaning of church? You being called out of darkness. Called out, Ecclesiastes. Called out to be sanctified light. The purpose of me, of knowing God, God wants to transform. Romans 8:28, to be transformed into what? To the likeness of God. Do you know every day God is working in my life, in your life, to be transformed? I'm so far from where Christ is like. But one day we shall have the fullness of Him. When we see Him, we shall be like Him. Every day He's working with the church to become like Him. We are here. Why not I die the day I was born again? Because He wants to work in your heart, in my heart, to become like Him. Here we see a picture of Jezebel, a character of corruption, a corrupted church. And go back, brother, to the old man. As you see, verse 23, these are bitter words to read, but this is the words given to the church. Behold, I'll cast her into bed that commit adultery with her in great tribulation, except she repent. I will kill her children with death, and the churches shall know that I am He. Very, very strong words spoken by Lord to a corrupt church. The children here are not children, literal children of Jezebel. They are the followers of these false doctrines. They who have been corrupted. That means a brother or sister who were walking with the Lord, they were seduced to be corrupted. And God is warning them to repent, to come back. And you see a judgment. This is a picture of, in Acts chapter 5, you see a character of Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted to give something to the Lord. It was their choice, but yet they lied to the church. And you see death of Ananias and Sapphira. You saw about Jezebel. The judgment was death. Dogs were eaten. In terms of Moses, their own sister Miriam accused Moses, which God heard, which God said to Miriam, Miriam, Moses is my faithful servant. Instantly she became leprosy, came white as leprosy. Moses has to pray. Now I want you to come back, brothers and sisters, to verse 21. This way the Lord, I was just reading, and I gave her space to repent. Of her fornication, she repented not. I gave her time to repent. I gave her space to repent. This morning, Brother Arun was reminding the time of repentance. The Lord was reminding me, if I had died 2004, many of you, some of you know my story of being kidnapped in 2003. If I had died, today I would be in hell. God gave me time to repent. the godly sorrows brings repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10 says, godly sorrows produces repentance that leads to salvation, and there is no regret in godly sorrows. But the worldly sorrows leads to death. What is this word repentance, brothers and sisters? We say to repent and believe. The heart of the gospel, the Bible heart, reminds us of repentance. Without repentance, there is no faith. We believe because we in the need of Christ. The repentance word comes from a Greek word called metanoia. Metanoia means, the word for repentance meaning means change of mind, which results in change of action. Change of mind, which results in a change of action. In Hebrew, the meaning is to turn around, to turn back, to turn from your old ways, from your wicked ways. It does not just stop there. It's a change of perception, of the knowledge of God, knowing who God is. It goes beyond it, isn't it? It is the work of the Holy Spirit which draws you on the day, you know, the cross. We sang this song this morning, the cross. All of us here had to come to the cross. All of us here understood why Jesus died for me on the cross. The word of God penetrates your soul and spirit. It has the power. Romans 1:16, Apostle Paul says, the gospel of God is the power of God for salvation. Though I heard gospel, you heard gospel many times on that particular day and the appointed time, God spoke to you. And you draw on the Holy Spirit working, the Word working. And most importantly, it is a change of heart. It is a change of mind. It is an opening of the eyes. Even as a believer, brothers and sisters, many times we sin, we fail, we come short, we go far. Even as we're looking at the church, this is a picture of backslidden, being seduced to the false way things. When you look at Judas, did Jesus love him just when he knows that Judas was about to betray him? If you read John's gospel, you read that the Lord Jesus loved the disciples till the end. I loved them till the end, including Judas. Do you know Judas was there just few hours before he was betraying him? The Lord said very directly, one of you will betray me, who will dip the bread. It was so clear, warning. Yet Judas sold him for love for money. 30 pieces. In the story of prodigal son, we were all blessed from Brother Edward Kuntum. He reminded us, when did the God the Father forgive the prodigal son? And we had everybody, thank God for Stephen. Stephen said, God was never angry with him. That reminds us, whenever you sin, God is always ready to forgive. He is a father who is ready to forgive. The prodigal son's eyes were opened in the sorrowful time when he was eating the food offered to a pig. His eyes were opened. He remembered the love of the Father. That's why psalmist, as we were looking at last week, when we take time not to repent, when a believer who knows God and have come short, and we take time, David said like this in Psalm 32, when I hid my sin, when I did not confess, what did he say? My bone waxed old, it had no strength. In Psalm 51, you could read the whole Psalm. Lord, please purge me with this. Do not take myself. Do not take my joy. Restore my Holy Spirit. Restore that joy I had. Clearly, David was a man after God's own heart. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7 and 8 says, when we hear the voice of God, may today be the day of salvation. Whenever we hear, when God wants to correct us, when we have fallen short, when we are far, let us be quick to come back. Let us be quick to restore. There was a rich man in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 13 to 21, who was very rich. He was storing and storing, and he thought he would have godowns to store. Jesus said, oh, you fool, do you not know? You do not have tomorrow. You do not have tomorrow. That is the fact. You do not have the next hour. When we delay in repenting, we become numb. The Holy Spirit is grieved. We are not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We continue to sin. It becomes a picture of a backsliding. Can someone read Acts chapter 3 verse 19? Acts chapter 3 verse 19.
Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so the times of the refreshment may come from the presence of the Lord.
Thank you. And thanks, brother. Firstly, when we fail to repent, we lose the blessings of God. As brother was reading, repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, and the refreshing, and that the times of refreshing may come. Praise God once for the times of refreshment. The refreshing, God refreshes, even though I've fallen and come back, the refreshment of God. Restored, right, given the same garment I had. Washed, refreshed. Proverbs 28:13. Somebody asked Proverbs 28:13. It says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Finds mercy. Mercy is there 24 hours, 7 days for a true repentant heart. Can someone read Jeremiah 5:25? Jeremiah 5:25. As you read, Jeremiah was speaking about the rains, the harvest.
Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have withheld good from you.
Thank you, brother. Your wrongdoings, your iniquities have kept you away from these blessings, which you read a few verses of, the harvest, the rain. When we fail, we lose the blessing which God wants to bless, wants to prosper, the refreshment the Lord wants to give. The mercies the Lord wants to flow. As we come back to Revelation chapter 3, chapter 2, you see verse 24. As I was reminding from verse 21, I gave a time to repent. The Lord's character again, as brother was reminding, one of the attributes is slow to anger. The time to repent. The time He has given us on this planet earth to set right with God. But there were few in this church, a remnant, who had not fallen to this false way of life. Though there was corruption around, though there was things around which was not right with God. As you read verse 24, but unto you I say, the rest of Thyatira, who have not received this doctrine, who have not known, here it says, the depths of Satan, as they speak, I'll put upon you none other the burden but which you have already hold fast till I come. A few days ago, weeks ago, Brother Matthew was speaking about Nahum. And what the Lord spoke to me was in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. If you have it, you could read it. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
May the Lord know who to rescue the body of injustice, to keep the unrighteous from the punishment to the day of judgment.
Thank you, brother. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly, the righteous. Brothers and sisters, as you know, we are living in a time the judgment is coming upon this planet earth. It has already begun. looking for the times of the Lord taking us back to our eternal homes. And that is very clear for every single believer. It should be clear. Look at the nation of Israel. Look at that olive tree. Look at that times we are living in. The judgment is about to come. But Lord knows how to rescue the godly, right? Even today morning, we were stacking up the chaise bag. Brother was about to take the whole big chair. Just fell, just millimeter. Just small millimeter. Could have fell on the brother. So close protections. God knows how to. Even the judgment is coming upon the whole world. He knows his remnant how to protect the godly. As we come back to verse 26. He that overcometh and keeps my words unto the end, will I give him the power over the nation. Verse 25. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a corrupt world. You leave this picture, you have this picture of false doctrines, picture of fornication, picture of corrupt gospel around, corrupted word around, corrupt word. Churches became, you know, place of entertainment, lack of word. What is it God speaking to you and me? To hold fast to the Lord. Hold fast, church, to the sound doctrines. Do not compromise. Do not be corrupted. Hold fast is something to cleave, isn't it? If you're about to have one small thing to hold, if you're about to fall, you're going to cleave everything you can to cleave. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, it says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, and that no man take thy crown. One of the last chapters of Apostle Paul, who lived one of the glorious life. The last book is Timothy, 2 Timothy, right? And this is how he's encouraging to Timothy. Timothy had many challenges in church. And in verse 12, he's encouraging Timothy, he's sharing his faith. These are the last few days of Apostle Paul, the last few letters we have. In verse 12, it says, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is Christ Jesus. The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit, which dwelleth in us. Look at the faith of Apostle Paul. I know whom I have believed. I know the good work the Lord has begun will be finished. He will keep me, which I have committed unto him against that day. And he's telling Timothy, hold fast to what? For the sound words. Hold fast that which you have heard. Hold fast to the faith. And Revelation 3:11, hold fast till when? Till I come. Not just today. You may be doing great in faith today. Hold fast to your faith till he comes. Till you finish your race. Hold fast. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy says, the time is coming in the last days, perilous times. Men shall be lovers of themselves. You can read through all the words of false prophets, false accusers, incontinent. And again, Apostle Paul reminds, verse 14 to Timothy, but you, Timothy, continue, verse 14, continue thou in the things thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them from the child. Praise God for the great heritage most of us have been born with the word of God. Nurture the word of God. The things you have learned, things of faith, hold fast If the culture is changing, the world is changing, Lord is not changing. The God is same yesterday, today and forever. He that overcometh, he that hold fast, I will give him reward. There will be rewards. There will be a reward ceremony in the kingdom of God. Eternal life is for every soul which have repented, believed, been born again. The rewards, if you're faithful with little things, I'll make you faithful over many things. To overcome. 1 John chapter 5. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. It says, every believer in Christ is an overcomer. Can someone read verse 4?
For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Thank you, brother. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We can overcome in Christ Jesus. We can overcome with faith. In Old Testament, there was Shum and Shifra and Puah. They were midwives. They were asked to kill the newborn child of Israel. You know what? How they overcame? It says, by the fear, they feared God more than Pharaoh. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. They feared God and they overcame. They did not kill. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. You see, they were in Iraq, being about to be thrown to the fire because they did not bow down to the idol, the image of king. Their faith, their determination was, God can deliver me from this fire. God can bring me back from this fire alive. That was their faith. They overcame the trial. Joseph was by himself in Egypt. He was seduced by Potiphar's wife. He remembered the word Jacob had shared, not to sin. The word came into his mind. He was quick. He ran from that place. In Revelation 12, 11 says, they overcame him by the blood, by the word, by the testimony. They loved not their lives. They loved not their lives. Friends, sisters, maybe not love our lives. Maybe love God. Maybe do things which will please God. Maybe put in actions and desire what will please Him. And look in pursuit of holiness. As we come back to Revelation 2. He that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. He shall rule them with rod of iron. The vessels of potter, they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. There will be a reign of 1,000 years. It's called millennium. The scripture says in Revelation, the Lord will give his servants, his faithful ones, to rule with him. Firstly, I mean, it is beyond to even think we have a privilege to just enter to the presence of God. It does not end there. The Lord has a plan in His kingdom. He will, as we read here, He will make us to rule with Him, to serve with Him. And what does it say? I will give Him the morning star. In Revelation 22, 16, you read Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to every man according to as his work shall be. God said to Peter, what you sow on earth will be bound in heaven. What you sow here will be bound. That is the promise. That is the rewards shared by as we speak to church. As you see, verse 16, who is the morning star? The Son of God is the morning star. Do you see morning star just before the dawn? In the darkest time, darkest night, you see the morning star appearing. That shows the picture of the darkest time on planet Earth, the morning star will come. And that is the time of the picture the church will be carried out, will be taken out, the picture of rapture, the morning star. We have the glimpse of this morning star in my heart. The Spirit of Jesus lives in you. This morning star lives in your heart, but we do not have the fullness. We'll have the fullness. Jesus will be your fullness. That is the greatest reward than ruling or being with Him. We will be with the Lord. His peace, His joy, His love, we will enhance 24 hours, 7 in His presence. Brothers and sisters, as we take the message of Thyatira, a corrupt church, a corrupt world, the Lord is reminding you and me to hold fast. Hold fast to the sound doctrines. Hold fast to the gospel, the true gospel. Hold fast to the faith. Continue in your faith. And He who has promised is faithful to give you God. May the Lord bless you. Loving, gracious Father, we thank You and praise You for giving us this blessed morning to study Your word. We thank You, Lord, for speaking to us, who made heaven and earth and created us and purchased the body of Christ. Lord, You have called us into Your marvelous grace to live a sanctified life. Father, we pray for anyone here who's, Lord, been weak or lacking in faith. We pray that, Lord, You may help us to be strengthened, be an overcomer, to conquer in faith in Jesus Christ and hold on to You and run this race with rejoicing in faith and bringing You honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.